Yesterday, I was at Leisure World. Leisure World is a retirement community in Seal Beach, and we have a Buddhist club there called the Buddha Circle. And we have a variety of people that show up. Sometimes the old ones go and the new ones show up, and we've always had people, though. It's a good sign. There's a definite interest in Buddhism. And now they've added a Qigong class as well after the Buddha Circle. So we've got two things happening there. I got a question yesterday, which I thought was really interesting. Now, in the Buddha Circle, most of the people aren't Buddhist, but they find Buddhism interesting and they want to learn more. And a woman asked me, "Do Buddhists go to heaven?" Now, if you're a Jew, a Muslim, or a Christian, you might have questions about that because Buddhists don't seem to meet all the requirements to go to heaven. And my answer was this. Well, Buddhism has its own cosmology, and we do have heavens, and we do have hells, and we have the human realm. So in ancient India, there was a model called the Six Realms of Existence. And when you heard about the Six Realms of Existence, they were actual places that you would go after you died. So the Six Realms of Existence has two heavens, has the human realm, and has three hells. Now, when Siddhartha became the Buddha, he used that same model, the six realms of existence, but he changed it a bit. He said, we can look at these not only as places to go, but we can look at these as mind states. And you will find that your mind might be in heaven if you're on a cruise going to Hawaii and everything is just the way it's supposed to be. And your mind might be in hell if you're coming back from the cruise and everybody gets norovirus. It can go either way. So let's investigate the six realms of existence. And you can look at it in both ways. If you feel more comfortable looking at it as place, that's perfectly okay. If you think it's a mind state, that's perfectly okay. The first heaven realm, it's the best heaven. It's probably a lot like Christian heaven, except it doesn't last forever. Nothing in Buddhism lasts forever, with one exception. So you made it, thinking of it as a mind state. You're having a great day. You just had some chocolate ice cream. It's a hot summer afternoon. And things just really seem good. You feel comfortable, and you don't have any worries. And so you're in that mind state for a while until it changes. Now, unfortunately, or fortunately, it always changes. The great thing about change is it gives us more possibilities. If nothing ever changed and always stayed the same, we wouldn't even be here. We would be someplace else. So change is good, except when you're attached. Attachment and aversion causes us great suffering. And if you're attached to the way the present moment is and it changes, you'll be uncomfortable and feel the suffering arise. The second heaven realm is almost as good, but there's a problem. There's a bit of desire, attachment, and aversion attached to this heaven realm. If only in this heaven realm it had more trees, it would be the perfect heaven. If only in this heaven realm I could drive a car, it would even be better. If only, if only, if only. Unfortunately, in this heaven realm, it doesn't get better, it doesn't get worse, it pretty much stays the same, and you have to deal with what you're given. Now, that may seem not as problematic as everything changes, but that urge to want it to be better, that urge to want it to be perfect. And I'm sure we've all had days like that. I find myself on the 405 yesterday wishing there wasn't as much traffic. It was bumper to bumper. I'm always amazed at where all these people are going, you know? And do they even know where they're going? So my day would have been much better if the traffic was better, but it never got better. So I was sort of in the heaven realm and just getting close to the hell realm. Thankfully, I got off the freeway and it all worked out fine. Now, the next realm of existence is the human realm. Now, if you think about it as a place, we all really had good karma because we made it. We were all born as humans. We weren't born into the heaven realms. We weren't born into the hell realms. We were born in the human realm. And that's where the Dharma exists. That's where the Buddhas are teaching in the heaven realm. Pardon me, in the human realm. And so we should look at our life as being special and understanding that it's so rare to be born anywhere in any of the realms of existence. How long was it before you were born? Now, if you're a Christian, you were never born before. This is your first time. You weren't here forever. And then when you leave, you'll be gone forever. As a Buddhist, we feel that rebirth allows us to be reborn infinite times. We don't have memories of that. Those come, it's said, when we achieve nirvana, we can look back up to 100,000 lifetimes and see all the choices we've made and the detours we've taken that allowed us to finally be born in the human realm on Earth with Buddhism. And that is amazing. So we should be happy that we're humans and not animals. So, gosh, son of a gun, the next realm of existence is the animal realm. And there are a lot of animals in that realm. Now, it's often described, the animal realm, as when we see animals, they want to eat, they want to sleep, they want to play, they want to have sex, and they're totally confused. That's a pretty good description of the animal realm. It's also a pretty good description of teenagers. But along with that, we find certain characteristics in the animal realm, like hunger, control, dominance. Those are aspects of the animal realm that make its way into the human realm. If you've ever seen an alpha cat in a colony, they demand that they are in control all the time. And if he doesn't like you, you're out of the colony. So that's part of what we see in the human realm as well. There are a lot of people who are into total control. And there are a lot of people that have anger. And there are a lot of people that prefer war over peace. And those are all sort of animal characteristics that humans are sort of stuck with as well. But thankfully, we have the Dharma and we can practice and purify our minds and mind states, and we can transform hatred into compassion. We can transform greed into generosity, and we can transform delusion into wisdom. So those are very important things to think about as we make our way through the human realm and practice the Dharma, practice the teachings of the Buddha. The next hell realm is called the hungry ghost realm. And I love it when they draw pictures of the hungry ghosts. They're generally speaking 12 feet tall, all have big bellies, and they have a little pinhole for a mouth. And no matter how hard they try to satisfy their hunger, Their mouth is too small for them to eat food. So they're suffering all the time. When I feed the cats, it's like they're all hungry ghosts lining up. They haven't eaten for 12 hours over the night. The sun is coming up. Every one of them will just eat as much as they can. No resistance at all. I think, the hungry ghosts are here today. They all want breakfast. Now, you can look at hungry ghosts in a variety of ways as well. Macy's summer sale, 50% off, filled with hungry ghosts. How much can I save? How much can I buy? How much can I own? Hungry ghosts. You can also see hungry ghosts when it comes to finances. I love this commercial on TV. No, in fact, it's on the internet. It's on the internet and has a picture of two people, elderly, gray hair, and one is talking to the other, and they say to each other, "Is $1.5 million enough for retirement at the age of 70?" And in my mind, more than enough. But apparently, there are people who think $1.5 million won't get them through their elder years. And then you think about all the billionaires. And all the billionaires and millionaires that I've read about don't seem to have enough. They always want just a little more, just a little more. Even if you have 2 billion, it's not enough. So those are the hungry ghosts walking on this planet, but also in their mind states. The hungry ghost mind state. And now we come to the worst hell of all. And that is where you apparently, if you're talking about a place, get a body. And you're walking around and it's a nice day and you're in the park and you look up and all of a sudden all the leaves above you turn into razor blades and fall off the tree. And cut you in a million pieces. And then you cry and scream in pain and suffering, and you're resurrected right on the same spot right now, so you can die again, and you can die again, and you can die again. And finally, when you've died enough times and suffered enough times, you are reborn out of that up into another realm, mental or place. And so, in some ways, it's nice to know that they aren't forever, that they're temporary, though a very long temporary, sometimes 100,000 human lifetimes long. But you always have another chance. So, what is Buddhism's contribution to afterlife? Because the six realms of existence were borrowed from the ancient Indian philosophy. The Buddha said, "I have discovered something that lasts forever. I had discovered permanent peace and joy. I have discovered not a place, but a way of being." Now, if you go online and search the word nirvana, you'll find a lot of stuff on it, but you really won't find out what it is. The Buddha really never told us what it was in specific ways. And I think of that as the little fish pond in the backyard when we had koi fish and we had a couple turtles as well. So imagine the turtle crawling out of the fish pond onto a rock to get some sun. And one of the fish came up and said, "What's it like to be out there? How does it feel?" And no matter what the turtle said to the fish couldn't understand because it never was able to experience outside of the fish pond. So, as a human being, if the Buddha had said to us, "This is what nirvana is," I don't think we would have understood because we weren't in nirvana. I think if we had been in nirvana, then yes. So, it's an interesting aspect of Buddhism that in some cases it requires a bit of faith And if you don't like the word faith, you can exchange it for the word confidence. It requires confidence that what the Buddha said was true at both a relative and ultimate level. So, what happens when you achieve nirvana? Number one, you end your karma. Now, you might not think that's a big deal, but what is reborn? The Buddha said we aren't a soul. The Buddha said we aren't a self. Now, some people believe they have a soul, and most people think they are a self. But the Buddha said, you may have that, but that's not who you really are. So what migrates from lifetime to lifetime is not a self or a soul. It is karmic energy and mind states. So that's why karma is so very important, because karma, along with choice and circumstance, defines what happened next to us. So if you're having a bad day and you give somebody $2 because they're out of money, that could change your bad day into a good day because you're practicing generosity and you made somebody happy and you're not attached to that $2. So your karma is working to benefit others, which ultimately comes back to benefit you. Fantastic. Lifetime after lifetime, we have created specific karmic energy in that lifetime that migrates and migrates and migrates along with the karmic energy in this lifetime. So people will say sometimes, for instance, say a child dies at the age of two because they get caught in a flood and they drown. Okay. And so you could say, well, that's their karma. Or you could say, well, that's what God intended. Or you could say, I don't know why that happened. It's probably because of the flood. Or you can look at the five niyamas as a way of understanding why stuff happens. There's an organic reason why stuff happens. There's a genetic reason why stuff happens. There's a karmic way of why stuff happens. There's a mind way of why stuff happens. There are a lot of moving parts that create everything that happens. It's never just one thing. The Buddha was really clear on that. It was never just one thing. It was a variety of things coming together in a unique way in this moment that was the cause. And you experience the consequence. Okay. So we got that now. And if our karma ends in nirvana, then it will be impossible to be reborn again. That will be our last lifetime. And there's parinirvana, nirvana after death. So you may not necessarily achieve nirvana while you're alive in this lifetime, but in your transition to the next lifetime, when you die, you achieve nirvana and aren't reborn again. What happens when you achieve nirvana in this lifetime? You end your suffering. You never have to suffer again. Now, in reading the story of the Buddha, what I found interesting was the consequences from past karma don't go away. It simply means you can't create any new karma once you've achieved nirvana. So the Buddha had a cousin, Devadatta, who tried to take over the Sangha and at one point pushed a giant boulder off a cliff to kill the Buddha so he could take over the Sangha. And the giant boulder hit another giant rock and splintered into 1,000 pieces, and the splinter cut the Buddha's foot. Now, it said you can't kill a Buddha, but you can injure him. And I thought, well, why would that splinter cut the Buddha's foot? And the commentary said, because that's a consequence from past karma before he was the Buddha that reached fruition in that moment. So we don't create any new karma, but we can't avoid the consequences from past karma. So where do you go? Is there a place where nirvana exists? Now, in some traditions of Buddhism, they say that samsara and nirvana are the same thing. Okay. It's interesting. Hard to understand because it's beyond duality, it's beyond a relative reality. So it's hard to put into words. What I like to think of is achieving nirvana is simply realizing that you're already there. You don't have to go to India or Japan or Thailand and do month-long retreats in Koreatown at the IBMC today. You could achieve nirvana. Yeah, very good. We'd have to charge extra for that, but very good. So, when the Buddha was asked, "Are you a god?" He said, "No. I am awake. I woke up. I woke up and realized that I was already there." So, all the practice we do, all the meditation we do, all the rites and rituals we do is not to achieve nirvana, it's to realize we are already there. And sometimes we don't do it in this lifetime. We have to go to another lifetime and another lifetime. It's hard to wake up. It's hard to wake up. So, after giving this rather lengthy explanation that, yeah, Buddhists do go to heaven, but they go to a lot of other places too if they're unskillful, they were curious, well, what's the best way to be skillful so I don't have to go to the hell realms or the other uncomfortable realms? Well, number one, we start with the five precepts. I will practice not taking life. I will practice not taking what is not given. I will practice not to indulge in sexual misconduct. I will practice not to speak unskillfully. I will practice not to consume intoxicants. And the word practice is really important because it means you're not there. It means you need to practice. And if you like the movies from the 1940s and 1950s, I always get a kick out of it because everybody smoked. They all died young because of lung cancer, but everybody drank all the time. So somebody was having a bad day. Do you need a drink? Can I serve you a drink? And they'd have in their apartments in the movies, they'd have this whole array of bottles and glasses. So anybody that came over was offered a drink. Well, maybe in 2025, it'll be different. We'll have to see. But not consuming intoxicants seems to be one of the toughest ones for most people. And people will, on Facebook especially, will pronounce, "I have been alcohol free now for 10 years." And it's like a medal on their chest. And that's really good. But it just shows you how strong those intoxicants can be and how difficult it is to free yourself from that prison. So after you start practicing the five precepts, so you won't go to hell, then you start to practice meditation. So you can change your mind. You can alter the characteristics of your mind. You can, as I said before, you can get rid of the greed and substitute it for generosity. You can get rid of the hatred and anger and substitute it for kindness and compassion. You can get rid of delusion and ignorance and substitute it for insight and wisdom. And that is the path that the Buddha encouraged us to follow so we wouldn't have to worry about going to hell or going to an uncomfortable place. And ultimately, he said, "I have found the place that's best for us to go to," and he called that place nirvana, the end of suffering and the end of all future rebirths. And at that point, nobody had any more questions. I had spoken enough to them, and I don't know if they were satisfied with the answer, but if they weren't, I suggested they go to Google search and they can spend the rest of the day figuring it out. So I'm going to stop there. and wish and hope that all of you end up in at least the heaven realm, if not nirvana, and ask you if you have any questions or comments on what I've just said.